This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The winds of change are blowing through Raider Nation, and Silver and Black Today keeps you up to date with the latest news and views about your Las Vegas Raiders.
Touchdown, Las Vegas!
With insight, opinions, and interviews, we're on the cutting edge of what's happening now. Now, with the latest on your Raiders and the NFL, your host, Scott Gulbranson and Mo Moten.
Welcome back. It's time for Silver and Black Today. Scott Gulbranson, Mo Moten. Did you miss us? Yes, I know we're a little bit late here with the week this podcast. It is the off season, so you know what? We kind of do what we want. But I'm fresh back from the combine, and my partner Mo Moten, who's been busy as usual covering the NFL, is with me. If you want to follow Mo on X.com, I highly recommend that. You can find him at Mo Moten, M-O-E-M-O-T-O-N. I am at LV Gully, the show, SNB Today. And lots to talk about, Mo, coming out of the combine. Some interesting tidbits to say the least, and having been there myself, was real interesting to watch what was going on and to see and hear some of the questions that make no sense that people ask. I think some folks don't get out of their house much, and so when they do, they get a little excited. But anyway, we want to jump in on the Raiders, but when you look at the combine, and I know you covered it too, and you wrote a bunch of different pieces for Bleacher Report about what was happening at the combine, including, you know, who helped themselves, who hurt themselves, and then of course going into the draft, because that's what the combine is about. But interested to hear your thoughts on anything that surprised you. We'll get into the Raiders specifics in a second, but anything that surprised you in total coming out of the combine that you weren't expecting.
Well, J.J. McCarthy, I think, surprised a lot of people, not by the way he performed, but his measurements. Mm-hmm. He came in apparently an inch taller and about 10 to 15 pounds heavier than a lot of people thought. So I think that helped him, because if you watched him in Michigan, you would have thought he was more of a slender quarterback. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's water weight going to the combine, because we know guys put on weight, cut weight before the combine. But for the most part, I think he satisfied the height and weight requirements. A lot of these team sites, list their own height and weight for these players, and they come in and you're kind of surprised at what they weigh in. That was a bit of a surprise, but I wouldn't say anything blew me away from the combine. I will say that it is a positive that Michael Penix Jr.'s medicals came back positive, passed his physical. No red flags came out of that. So he may go higher than a lot of people think. A lot of people have him in the second round right now. I'm probably in the minority that thinks Michael Penix is a first round pick. We'll see if the medicals do help him though.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because you talk about Michael Penix, and this is what I want to get into with the Raiders, because clearly the storyline with the Raiders throughout the combine was quarterback, right? It was about the quarterback. It was about the fact that they were looking for one. When we were there for the Tom Telesco press conference, he talked about the opportunity to be that. Antonio Pierce continues to, and I think a little bit too much, talk about how aggressive they want to be, because remember, it's a poker game. But he's been very clear. He wants they want to be aggressive. He said in his interview, an invite only interview for some media. He said that they don't want a Band-Aid. They want somebody who's going to come in. They want to upgrade that position, and so that tells you that they want to be active in the draft. Coming into the show today, as we record, we also have heard in the last day, the Raiders possibly targeting 5, 6, and 7 those spots. So the Giants. And I forgot who else was the Tennessee Titans, and I forgot who number 6 was.
Chargers.
The Chargers. That's right. So it,
Chargers five. Chargers are 5.
Giants are 6, and the Tennessee Titans are 7. Correct. Thank you. And so you look at that and you think to yourself, okay, so 5, 6, and 7. 5, 6, and 7, Mo, is not going to get Caleb Williams, Drake May, or Jaden Daniels. Just not going to happen. Those guys are going to be gone either 1 through 3 or maybe even 1, 2, and 4, somewhere around there. And then you're looking at the Giants. The Giants, we're hearing, again, another story today that they're done with Daniel Jones. So guess what that means? They might want to get up and take a quarterback where they're at if the guy's there, or move up a little bit. So this is what we've been talking about since the season ended, right? Which is, yeah, you can trade up and want to trade up all you want. But at the end of the day, we talked about 7 or 8 teams that needed quarterbacks. And so the quarterback class has done well. Some people like it, some people don't, but most people agree that we could see quarterbacks 1 through 4, definitely 1 through 3, but we could see through 1 through 4, and we could even see 5 quarterbacks in the first 10 picks.
If the Raiders are going to trade up, if they want to trade up to anywhere between 5 to 7, it tells you that they think that there's a QB4 worth a top 7 pick.
Right.
So that, to me, that's probably J.J. McCarthy, because the buzz around the combine, and maybe this should have went into my surprises, but there are a lot of people that, not a lot of people, but there are league sources that say J.J. McCarthy could be QB3 ahead of Drake May or Jaden Daniels. That surprises me, but that's a rumor and it's not proven fact yet. We'll see what happens, you know, during the draft. But apparently J.J. McCarthy is a lot higher on NFL boards than a lot of people think. I'm not jumping along with the buzz. I still feel like J.J. McCarthy is a late first round pick, but it's very well possible he goes top 10. And it's very well that the Raiders may trade up to get J.J. McCarthy from 5 to 7. Because again, it makes no sense for the Raiders to trade up to get a cornerback. It's a deep cornerback draft.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense for the Raiders to trade up for any other type of player other than a quarterback. Correct. So to me, it has to be J.J. McCarthy, or who knows, maybe it's Bo Nix. Like I said, the medicals were good for Michael Penix. Maybe it's Michael Penix, but apparently they feel, if they do that, they feel strongly about a QB4 in this class.
Well, and I think that's the question too, is, you know, who do they really like? Of course, Antonio Pierce was very vocal and very public about the Jaden Daniels. We all knew that because of the prior relationship. I don't see that happening. I don't think there's any way the Raiders get Jaden Daniels. I just don't see it from a not just a price perspective, from the competing teams, right? You have a lot of teams who want to get up there and get those 3 quarterbacks and maybe 4 quarterbacks. It depends. A couple mock drafts out in the last 24 hours have the Raiders taking Penix at 13. So to your point about him moving into the first round, again, fans look at it one way. It doesn't matter. It all depends on those guys that are developing and looking at these prospects and watching the tape.
Scott, one thing I want to make a point real quick about the Raiders moving up to 5 to 7, and people are going to say, well, if they move up to 5 to 7 to get J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix, they're overdrafting that quarterback. Nope. Let's remember that the Vikings are in the quarterback market and the Denver Broncos in the quarterback market at 11 and 12. I've said this for the past 2 months. If the Raiders want QB4, they're probably going to have to leapfrog the Vikings and the Denver Broncos for that quarterback. So they're going to have to get in front of those teams and any other team that may want to move up. So moving up to 5 to 7 may seem like overdrafting for Bo Nix, Michael Penix, or J.J. McCarthy, But if you're looking at the quarterback competition for those prospects in the Denver Broncos and Minnesota Vikings, you kind of have to get into the top 10 to get those guys.
Yeah, and I believe the Broncos are going to take a quarterback at 9. I mean, of course, they officially cut Russell Wilson. And so they're going to do that. And so to me, you look at it, if you sit at 13, Mo, and I know everything, there's been so much positive around Raider Nation. So I want to just make this preface that I'm sorry to give you some stark news. And that is that if the Raiders can't trade up at all, i.e. up to that 5-7 range, there could be 4-5 quarterbacks already gone by the time they get to 13. Not saying it's going to happen, but there's a good possibility it could, depending on how it all rolls out, right? We don't know how the draft falls. But based on the conversations at the combine and based on the coverage we've seen and based on what we know these teams need, that's where I see it, is if the Raiders can't move up, then in my view, unless there's somebody that dropped that you really like, which I just don't anticipate, then yes, then you go with another needed position, and maybe there's a guy in the second round you take a chance on, and then you got to go get a veteran. And then you're into your plan B, right? Maybe even your plan C. But I am with you on that. I just don't see the quarterbacks lasting that long the way things are going.
Well, you're looking at 6 quarterbacks, right? Well, the talk is about 6
Correct.
Quarterbacks in the first round,
Correct.
Potentially.
Correct.
You got Caleb Williams. You got Drake May, you got Jaden Daniels. We assume those three are going to be going in the top 3 picks, mm-hmm. maybe top 4, top 5 the latest, right? And then you're looking at Michael Penix, and well, J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix. A lot of people feel J.J. McCarthy is going to go before Michael Penix. So you said 5 quarterbacks could be off the board by the time the Raiders pick at 13. If those 5 are off the board, then you're looking at Bo Nix at 13, or you're waiting till round 2
for a Rattler or somebody like that if they're there.
And the word around a combine is that Rattler is every team's favorite day 2 quarterback. And I brought up Spencer Rattler in a post last month that I said Spencer Rattler is probably going to be the wild card, because remember he was talked about but a lot of people talked about him as if he should have been in Caleb Williams' situation right now. But, of course, he lost his job to Caleb Williams, moves his set, goes, transfers to South Carolina, and kind of reinvents himself there. But this wasn't a guy – this was a guy who was heavily touted when he came into the college ranks. So it's not like you're – Spencer Rattler's a nobody. He was supposed to be one of the top quarterbacks in this year's class or whenever he came out.
Yeah.
And the team that gets him in day 2 can probably sees that same potential in him and probably more maturity – as he's grown up in South Carolina.
Yeah, and his draft stock, I think Rattler's he didn't test amazingly well. So it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, how you tested the combine's only 10% of the equation. The other 90% is what the team has done scouting you and watch the game film. So we'll see. But I agree with you on that day 2. There's a lot of people talking about him on day 2. Here's the issue I have, Mo. And this is where people will probably not be happy, because I'm not wearing the silver and black colored glasses, which is the Raiders' biggest need of position is a quarterback. If they can't get their quarterback of the future in the first draft and they go to plan B or plan C, which is Aiden O'Connell, who's going to be competing for the starting role, and some other veteran and a later round rookie, whether that's second, third round, then I think the Raiders are going to have headwinds, because I don't think – depending what happens. Now, we're hearing the Russell Wilson talk come back in again. But again, is that the answer? In the NFL, free agency you use to supplement your team. You use the draft to build a championship team. So that would concern me. Now, if they do that and they get a veteran quarterback and another rookie they can maybe get lucky on, and then they have Aiden O'Connell, and you're a team, we've talked about it before, right, Mo? You're a team that is on the kind of precipice of being a playoff team. So if you start looking at, hey, I'm bridging a quarterback, and then you think, well, geez, we won 8 games last year, we could win 9 or 10 this year, you're not going to be in a better position next year to draft a young rookie quarterback. So the Raiders quarterback problem concerns me if it can't be solved this year. Not impossible. I just want to say that, because we don't know what's going to happen. But I'm just concerned on how this is all falling the way it is.
Well, you kind of have to understand the position the Raiders are in right now. I think we talked about this during the offseason. Mm-hmm. They're not in a guaranteed position to get a top quarterback. Right. In order to get it, you have to trade up, and you can't trade up with yourself. You have to have some cooperation. So going into this, I understood that the Raiders may not get a top quarterback. Of course, a lot of people held out hope that they would. But that's why you have free agency. And I understand it's not the sexiest way to go about it at the quarterback position, getting a Russell Wilson, or rumors are going around about Justin Fields, which I don't buy, by the way. But I know getting a bridge gap quarterback is not appealing to a lot of people, but what else can the Raiders do at the quarterback position? If they can't trade up, again, they're probably picking Bo Nix, Spencer Rattler, maybe Michael Penix if he drops. And then there are no other real choices. If you want to go Joe Milton as a developmental quarterback, Joe Milton had a, I guess you would say, an impressive combine because of his size and able to his arm strength. But arm strength is not something that I think is that big of a deal to me. You could throw the ball 70 yards downfield, but you have to be accurate. And it's not to say Joe Milton isn't accurate, but a lot of people were fawning over Joe Milton and the way he threw the football. His stature reminds you of Anthony Richardson. I'm not saying he is Anthony Richardson, but his size, he's about 6'5", 245. Looks like Anthony Richardson body type-wise.
Sure.
But he's a developmental quarterback. He's going to be maybe a round three, round four guy, in my opinion. So, again, what do you want the Raiders to do if they can't get a top guy? They're going to have to, I don't want to say settle, they're going to have to roll with a guy out of free agent to compete with Aiden O'Connell.
Correct. And so then it becomes a question of who, right? And that's where my concerns start to multiply because, okay, Russell Wilson, I don't know. Russell Wilson did not have a bad year despite the narrative and despite the situation that happened in Denver. And I wrote about this several times during the course of the season. He actually, from a production standpoint, had a good year. The fit wasn't right and all the jazz that happened in Denver. So Russell Wilson on the Raiders, okay, some people want that. If you can't get Russell Wilson, because he will be in demand, I think there's going to be teams like the Raiders, if they strike out in the draft for a top quarterback, then there's going to be other teams that are too, and they're going to be looking for a quarterback. You have Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was thought to have been going back to the Buccaneers for sure. That's sort of fallen off a little bit. Even heard the Patriots thrown around there, a couple other names. And then you have, of course, Kirk Cousins. I don't see the Raiders doing that. So you start to look at that pool of veteran quarterbacks, and then you're getting to the Jacoby Brissetts and all that kind of stuff. And to me, that's plan D, and plan D is not a good one. But you have to buy yourself another year and then try to figure it out again next year. I haven't looked at the free agent class for next year from a quarterback perspective, Mo, but I do know that in the NFL, if you're a quarterback and you're coming off a rookie deal or you're going to be a free agent and you're a great quarterback who's leading your teams to win, you're not going to be on the market most of the time. I mean, some yes, but I just think that this position with the Raiders, they can't change what they can't change, okay? But it's going to be very interesting because they're going to have to dive into free agency first. And if they dive into free agency in a big way, if they sign a Russell Wilson, even if it's at a rookie minimum, or not rookie minimum, but a league minimum, or they sign a Baker Mayfield, or they sign somebody like that, then that's going to tell you that they were not thinking confidently that they could trade up in the draft, is the way I look at it. Now, to get another veteran to come in to compete, just a guy, you know, to come in, that's different. So I think we'll see in the next couple weeks how it's all unfolding if something doesn't happen before then.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Right. I guess my prediction right now is a veteran quarterback, a bridge gap guy they do sign, mm-hmm. just as an insurance policy, because
right.
you don't know what's going to happen. Now, I will say, 3 years ago, the 49ers traded up from, I think it was 12-3 with the Dolphins. So now is the time trades could happen. So as this podcast, as this episode is coming out, we could, you know, news could break where the order could change. Who knows how aggressive the Raiders are going to be. But if I'm the Raiders, right, and I want a top quarterback, I'm trying to trade up now because you kind of want to help yourself solve the puzzle. Before. You don't want other people to kind of dictate things for you. So if the Raiders just sit back at 13 and let things fall into place, they could miss out on the guys that they want. But if they proactively trade up to 5-7 now you're at a point where, okay, we're at 5, 6, or 7. Now we can use that capital to trade up again.
Yeah.
You know, we can entice a team with, okay, now we have the 5th round pick. You're not getting 13, you're getting pick 5. If you just want to slide down a few spots, we could do that. So it gives themselves some options if they're proactive versus sitting back and saying, oh, we'll just let other teams dictate it for
us. Yeah, and I still think, despite the narrative, because again, it is lying season. So despite the narrative about the Patriots being all in on a quarterback, I think they're just trying to increase the value of that pick. Right. So they may be. It could be. I mean, crazier things have happened. You can't go wrong drafting a rookie quarterback that you think is going to be around for a long time. Although the Patriots have so many needs that it sort of doesn't make sense. But, you know, hey, if you like the guy and you think he's going to be there for 10 or 15 years, great. But I do think that spot is still the spot if you can get it. Right. But that value is going to be very, very high. And we'll see. But I do think if the Raiders are unable to address the quarterback position in a really good way, it's just going to change the complexity of what happens over the next 2 seasons versus the next 1 season. You know, it just changes the trajectory because, yes, a rookie quarterback comes in and you're not sure if they're going to start, but it puts a whole different dynamic. So we'll see how that all goes. But we'll keep track of it. We'll see moves starting to happen, I think, this week with some of these free agents. And even, you know, Russell Wilson out there, I think a team who wants him is going to probably try to sign him pretty quickly. So we'll see. Now, the other thing is here, Mo, is the franchise tag deadline. Obviously, the Raiders, as we record that, today is the deadline day. They've said they're not going to tag Josh Jacobs. We do know the final, as of yesterday, the final franchise tag for a running back is $11.9 million, right? So if you're Josh Jacobs now, you're in the position of, hey, if they tag me, I make $12 million and I only get a one-year deal. If they don't tag me and they come at me and offer me $9 million a year, or $8 million a year for 3 years, and it's guaranteed $12 million, you know, where are you at? So it's a very interesting situation with Josh Jacobs. I agree with you. I still think they're going to make a great faith effort to sign him. The money just gets really interesting now, as does the length of the deal. Although in the NFL, remember, when they say guaranteed money, that's all that matters. The length of the contract really doesn't matter all that much.
All right, so no franchise tag news for the Raiders,
yes,
so to speak. But what I will say about Jacobs is Vic Tafer and Tashaun Reed mm-hmm. had a post-combine column. Mm-hmm. And they said, don't overlook the fact that Josh Jacobs may be Mark Davis's favorite Raider on the roster.
Right.
Or one of his favorite Raiders on the roster. So I just want to put that out there that we talk about Mark Davis sometimes getting too attached to players and being maybe too personal, not
Derek Carr,
business that, not looking at, you know, okay, this is more of a roster piece. This is, you got to be able to separate the player mm-hmm. from the person. That's not something I baked into my opinion about Josh Jacobs re-signing. I just thought it was more Antonio Pierce and what he wanted to build with his football team and the leadership that Josh Jacobs brought to the team. But I've been on this train for weeks now, mm-hmm. months, that I strongly believe Josh Jacobs is back. Now, as I've said on last week's show, he's not going to have the same workload as he's had in years past. I think Zamir White's going to eat more into his workload. So with that said, he's not going to, if the Raiders re-sign him, he's not going to make north of $10 million getting 50% of the touches. Mm-hmm. If he comes back as a Raider and he splits those touches 50-50, 60-40, the Raiders are probably going to want him for less than $10 million a year, and he's got to want, and that's a bit of a discount for him because he could probably make a little bit more elsewhere on the market.
Right, and that's where I'm saying if you give him a 3-year deal at $8 million a year with 14 million guaranteed or 12 million guaranteed, probably 12 because the tag is 11.9. And so you look at that and it depends. Yeah, it's a three. But again, in the NFL, I know players want security. They want a three-year deal, but in the NFL, it doesn't. All that matters is the guaranteed money. So at least he would get the $12, $14 million, and maybe a little more. Who knows? Depending, based on your situation or the mention you had about Mark Davis liking him, and we do know that that has been an issue in the past. So we'll see. And yeah, I think they'll try to sign him. And if the money's in that range, I got no problem with it, because if you were going to tag him, that's what you'd be paying anyway. So to have him back and to have him part of the stable of running backs now with Zamir White, I think getting more carries because he's earned that. And then whoever they bring in, it'll be interesting to see there. And then we'll see what happens with the rest of the league. We do know the two top cornerbacks in the free agent class, of course, Snead, they've been tagged. So you're not going to get those guys. Still a great free agent cornerback class. So I would expect the Raiders to be active there as well. It's a great draft there, but you can't have too much depth. And so we'll see how that all rolls out. And I really was impressed with a lot of those kids at the combine. To me, Terrion Arnold is awesome. I don't know that he would be there when the Raiders select. We're seeing some other mock drafts, Mo, by the way, that people who agree with me that they could take a cornerback in the first round, despite what you've said about what Antonio Pierce has said about building those lines. So we'll have to see. He was that impressive at the combine. But either way, the Raiders will get an impact player at 13, even if it's not a quarterback. And so I would watch that. And we'll obviously talk a lot about those guys as we head into the draft.
Bit of mixed signals coming out of combine because, going back to referencing Vic Tafer and Tashaun Reed's piece, they've said that the Raiders value a cornerback in this year's mm-hmm. draft. They want a cornerback that will allow them to show man coverage but play in more zone coverage on the back end. Quinyon Mitchell and would fit that, of course. But they also said in the piece that Pierce wants to build the roster inside out. Mm-hmm. So there's a bit of, I don't want to say missed signals from the column, but look, I guess a little bit of gamesmanship where you're still not sure where the Raiders are going to go. They obviously want an impact corner.
Yes.
But they also want to build the roster inside out, which would tell you, okay, maybe they go offensive or defensive line. It's funny, Byron Murphy II, who I've talked about a lot on the show and my Bleach Report Lives, was mentioned in the column.
Yes.
They talked about also, as I've said, too, the Raiders had three impending free agent offensive linemen. So to me, I would go offensive line over corner because to me it's more important because whoever you have back there at quarterback needs protection. The Raiders didn't run block well last year. I think their pass protection was pretty good. But they need better run blocking up front. And if Dylan Parham is going to move to center, you're going to need two guards.
Right.
And maybe a right tackle if Jermaine Illuminar leaves. So you got, to me, the offensive line is a bigger priority. It's a higher priority than cornerback. Simply because, again, the cornerback position is deep to me in free agency and the draft.
Well said. Yes. They also, the conversation there too, one guy that they really liked at a position that you could say they could use some depth. They have some question marks, although I think it's okay where it's at, which is Tyler Newbin, the safety, who can play a little bit too. So we'll see what they do there. At least you're going to get a sense for some of the guys they might go second, third round for. As well, if they're going to build some of that back end of the defense. But I agree. I mean, look, if you can't get the quarterback, I would go offensive defensive line with the first and second round pick, depending where it falls. You know, again, some of those guys that are high on their board might not be there. And so then you move to the defensive backfield or you move somewhere else. But we'll see how it rolls out. Okay, we're going to take our break here. When we come back on this edition of Silver and Black today, we're going to get to your mail. Yes, we didn't do mailbag last week. And so we're going to do that again. Remember, we're going to keep track of all that's happening. We're doing one show this week, but if something pops and we have a big story around the Raiders, we will do another show. But make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your audio. We certainly appreciate that. And for those of you watching on YouTube, hello and thank you. Hit the subscribe and the notifications bell so that we can let you know whenever we have a new video. But when we come back, we're going to hear from all of you. Of course, last week we didn't do one, so we got backup. We got to get to all these calls, Mo, when we get back. You're watching Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey original podcast. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.